Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We began yesterday's call with a rhetorical question. We ask, have you given the first 100 days of this year 100%? Of your best efforts.
Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 in the Message Bible says, don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance.
The first 101 days of 2018 are in the rearview mirror. We can't change the past. But we can change what happens in the next 100 days. Let's do a brief review of how we can change our destiny starting today. Here are seven things we encourage you to do in the next 100 days. First, make God your partner.
Proverbs 18, verse 24 in the Living Bible. There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Not only do you have a friend that's closer to you than any family ever could be, he always answers when you call, and he's ready to listen and help. This is the kind of partner we want traveling with us during the next 100 days.
Second, purpose in your heart to be happy no matter what. Proverbs 15:13, the Living Bible. A happy face means a glad heart. A sad face means a breaking heart. When we focus on the problem, the adversity, the attack, the storm, then if we focus on that, we'll always be sad. However, when we're happy, cheerful in the middle of attack, it seems like everything is going to be all right.
Third, make a decision to never settle for less than the best. Proverbs 3, verse 9 in the New Living Translation says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. The scripture says we will honor the Lord when we give him our best.
Fourth, make a personal commitment to be a finisher. The strength of a person's character and drive to success is determined by whether or not they can finish what they started. The one by whom every effort, thought, and action should be measured was a finisher.
Philippians 1, verse 6 in the New Living Translation says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Being a finisher, completing the assignment God gave us, that's our quest, and to do it with excellence.
Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Fifth, plan your days and organize your life.
Psalm 19, verse 2 in the Contemporary English Version says, each day informs the following day, each night announces to the next.
Today is 102 days into 2018. This would be a good time to review the seven things you need to do before you go to sleep each night. I realize that over the past 1,928 Rich Thoughts for Breakfast calls, we've encouraged you on numerous occasions to read and implement these seven things. So I was meditating on whether to list them or not. I was reminded Philippians 3:1 in the Living Bible.
And it says, whatever happens, dear friends, be glad in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you this, and it is good for you to hear it again and again.
Says it all. Here they are. First, create a to-do list of the things you plan to accomplish tomorrow. Second, journal the great things that happened to you during the day. Third, create a nightly confession about tomorrow being the best day of your life. And it can go something like this. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Friday, April 13, 2018, will be the greatest day of my life, a day filled with opportunities beyond my imagination and expectation, a day filled with previously unknown opportunities. And as I'm able to tap into previously unused potential, I thank you there will be revelatory insight and divine connections. My desire, Father, is to glorify you in everything I do on Friday, April 13th, 2018, in the mighty name of Jesus. You can do it something like that. Fourth, never go to bed mad or frustrated with your spouse or children. If it's something that can't be resolved instantly, write out the problem briefly on a sheet of paper. Pray over it. Lay it on your nightstand and ask God to deal with it while he's giving you sweet sleep. Fifth, clean up, pick up, so that you'll be ready to get up. Do the dishes and clean up your living area before going to bed. Believe it or not, you'll be glad you did in the morning. Sixth, lay out what you plan to wear tomorrow. This will save you time in the morning, eliminate indecision, and ultimately, well, save you some frustration. Seventh, plan how you're going to dress your mind. Lay out what CDs or teachings that you're going to listen to on your commute to work or to school or wherever you're going. Sixth, eliminate fear from your life. Eliminate fear from your life. Ask yourself each day, what's the greatest fear that I'll face today? If you mastered your fear, write down what you did to accomplish that worthwhile task. Just think what you could accomplish if you didn't have to deal with fear. Fear of failure holds people back and keeps them from maximizing their potential from success. Fear doesn't come from the Lord. Let me say that again. Fear doesn't come from the Lord.
2 Timothy 1:17 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." Listen, there is a spirit of timidity, which means that we can defeat that spirit of timidity.
Yes.
Or of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power.
Yes.
And of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control.
Hallelujah.
There's a lot to that verse.
There really is. In fact, there are seven quick truths you can see in that verse. First, fear doesn't come from God. Second, God doesn't want you timid. He doesn't want you to be a coward when it comes to expressing your godly opinions and doing what's right. And he doesn't want you cringing about the things that you think could go wrong. Third, God has given you a special gift, dispensation, if you will. Fourth, God has given you the spirit of power.
Strength to overcome any and everything.
Fifth, God always wants you acting in love. Sixth, God wants your life to be calm, not living in the tyranny of the urgent, and he wants you living with a well-balanced mind. And seventh, God wants you living a life disciplined by the word.
Amen.
Exercising self-control over temptations of the enemy. As you can see, there's much more to this verse than just overcoming fear, but that in itself is a good thing.
And it shouldn't knock somebody off their horse. I don't know why I use that expression.
Because we lived in Texas 23 years.
There you go. When it comes to fear, you know, fear can come on anybody. And you shouldn't go, oh, I'm sinning if I have fear. No, the enemy is attacking you, but you claim the word. And I know, I remember David in Psalm 53, I think, where it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee."
Yes.
It doesn't mean you're not going to have fearful times, but it means you're still looking to God to overcome that fear.
Seventh, visualize what your life will be like in 100 days.
Hallelujah.
Visualize what your life will be like in 100 days. When you wake up Monday, July 19th, the 200th day of 2018, Will it be just another day? Or will you have a sense of accomplishment? Before the sun comes up tomorrow morning, I'd like for you to list 7 things you'd like to accomplish in the next, I'm saying 100 days. It's actually 98 because today's 102. But you get the point. And don't just make a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 list. Ask God what steps you can take to make your goals for the next 100 days a reality.
Colossians 4, verse 5 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Behave yourselves wisely, living prudently and with discretion in your relation with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing, buying up the opportunity."
Hallelujah. In order to make the very most of every opportunity, we must establish proper timelines in the pursuit of our goals for the next 100 days. Here are 7 keys. First, develop a plan with reasonable and flexible timelines.
Second, implement your timeline now. Don't delay.
Third, review your timeline to determine if you've selected the easiest way to accomplish your objective.
Fourth, announce your timeline publicly, like to your family, so that you'll be held accountable to it.
Fifth, use your timelines as incentives.
Sixth, achieve or refocus your timelines.
Seventh, recognize how stress is reduced as each timeline is accomplished. Create a timeline for all of your goals.
1 Timothy 4, verse 15 in the New International Version says, "Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress."
Ask God to stir a passion, a creativity, a commitment to make things happen, to see opportunities as you've never seen them before. If you make a commitment to the next 100 days, if you follow His instructions, then on July 19, 2018, you'll be able to say, "Look what the Lord has done."
That's great.
Hallelujah.
That is great.
Look what the Lord has done in and through your life.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
That is good.
Yes, it is. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed with the teaching, go up to the top where it says, "Sow a seed." Just ask God what seed to put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.